Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nintendo!
Want a Nintendo Switch? Of course you do. That's right. This week, Nintendo is teaming up with IGN to give one of you lucky NVC fans a chance to win a Nintendo Switch. Just go to go.ign.com/NVC giveaway for more info. Switching it back to you guys.
Nintendo Voice Chat, I'm Jose Otero, and this is IGN's Nintendo Show, and coming up on Nintendo Voice Chat, we're going to lead off the show with basically our post-show from the Nintendo Direct on April 12th. When we come back from that, and if you've seen it before, skip ahead 30 minutes, you're going to hear Brendan and Pear's thoughts on Nintendo Direct and their takeaways. We're going to follow that up with talking about the Nintendo Classic and its discontinuation, which sucks, quite frankly, but we're going to have some choice words about that. Finally, we're going to talk about games we're playing, so check out our post-show.
Listen!
Welcome back. I'm Jose Otero. This is Brian Altano.
Hey.
And this is Marty Silva. And we are Nintendo Voice Chat here, IGN's official sort of Nintendo show. And Brian is causing powers with his mind. causing some special effects with his mind. But let's ask now, really quick, let's begin with the initial Nintendo Direct reaction. I want your high points and I want your hot takes.
Can we do it in one word?
Start with one word.
Busy.
Busy. Okay, explain in a second. What would you say?
Oh, that would have been my word. This is two words, release dates.
Okay.
Right.
Which I was super impressed by.
Okay.
You know, one of the big problems with throughout the entire life of the Wii U was that Nintendo would release a game, we would turn on our system, play it, and then they'd go dark for a while.
Yeah. Right.
What this did is showed us a reason why seemingly every week up through Splatoon's launch, we are going to have something to play.
Yep.
And it also showed us why 3DS, you know, is still relevant.
It seems like we're getting big tentpole first-party stuff every month or so, and then a bunch of cool sort of like retro or indie or third-party things in between, which is literally exactly the perfect scenario for Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
That's exactly what you want,
right?
That's
what people wanted. You said busy. Why would you say busy?
Just format-wise, if you look at the average sort of E3 press conference, they're usually sort of like drawn out, a little more slower paced. There's long-winding. The old versions had a lot of PowerPoint slides. The new versions have devs who come on and talk and sort of ad nauseum. This was every sometimes 10, 20, 30 seconds. Boom, brand new topic. Boom, brand new announcement. Yeah. Sometimes it was almost like, wait, did they announce a new, new thing. Okay,
yeah,
did they announce a new, new hardware? Are they a new code?
They jokingly said, let's speedrun through headlines at the start, and I was not prepared for just how much and how quickly the information was being presented.
Yeah.
It was almost like there was no, at one point during the show while we were watching this here, you said, breathe. Take a minute to breathe.
I mean, the format felt like WarioWare, and I thought at the end we'd get WarioWare, and I was just like, oh, maybe this is all like there's a reason for the madness.
Maybe instead of WarioWare games, now we just get them in playable in press conference format.
So my word for this Direct would be middling, and I say that because I think the first party stuff still looks good.
Yep.
I feel like there's also a promise for more coming. With they're going to have a lot more to say about Splatoon. I think they're struggling to present what ARMS is. I think that fight went on way too long. Mm-hmm. And I thought that when we got to the third-party stuff, at least on Switch, I still don't see big, exciting announcements. I see stuff that has existed in other places before. Granted, there's a lot of genre variety there, and I think that they deserve credit for that. And I would not take that credit away. And we're going to get into it, but like even and I think there were smart moves in there, like getting Minecraft on there early.
Yeah.
You brought that up while we were just sitting here.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Nintendo Switch launching out the gate, really strong, really fast, you know, sort of like, think about it like F-Zero, right? You hit the button at the right time, you get that jump start. This was sort of like a little speed ramp to get them to E3. I don't think this is I don't think we needed the biggest thing in the world to carry them over, but
I agree with that point.
I think that we're getting a lot at E3, and like I was saying to you before this even started, depending on how good or bad something like this is, right? A Nintendo Direct, I think a weak Direct during the Wii U era was devastating. A middling Direct during the Nintendo Switch era
right before E3,
not so bad.
Yeah,
I can handle that.
And I will say they're giving 3DS a really good send-off, and we're going to get into that in a minute, but we're going to lead off with Switch stuff. But I do want to say, at least based on the first-party stuff, I feel like, okay, so far this Direct tells me you're saving Mario Odyssey, you're saving Splatoon 2, Xenoblade 2, Fire Emblem Warriors, and other surprises
Zelda
as
DLC.
Your focus for E3.
Which I think is great.
That's
honestly
smart.
Like, I'm excited. Also, the fact that ARMS is releasing pretty much during E3 means they're not going to devote a lot of time to it at the press conference. I'm honestly hoping for a strong Mario push, games that haven't been announced, those games you mentioned, maybe talking about online, talking about Virtual Console.
Okay, so let's drill down then. Let's start with Nintendo Switch games, and let's begin with, I mean, passing mention on Mario Kart 8, we knew that was going to happen April 28th. Let's lead off with Splatoon, which to me was a high point, because they started talking about Salmon Run, which is a sort of horde mode. It's PvE mode that's in the game.
Yeah.
That's great because it was very light on single player content the first time around.
Sure.
Yeah.
How'd you guys think
about it? I mean, Splatoon or Nintendo as a whole is one of those, like, we haven't had a lot of games that support a horde mode-ish mode on a Nintendo console.
Sure.
You know, there's stuff like, you know, Halo, Gears, Uncharted. These all have those sort of things.
Yeah.
It's cool that a tentpole Nintendo first party game is getting that, because horde mode like that is awesome. So I'm really stoked to be playing.
I found the art direction of this level very fascinating on a Splatoon level, because usually they're sort of bright and neon and energized, and this is dark and grim and
dude, like gross.
A,
yeah,
yeah, it looks like a really sad fishing show. Like I like it.
No, yeah, and there's a grim apocalypse to Splatoon that is not mentioned except in like text form.
Right.
I feel like this is the first time they've actually shown it to people. They also show like these new enemies, these chum. I like that the whole presentation for Splatoon continues to be this nature special that you just kind of wandered into.
This was like the dark chapter of the nature special.
I like this a lot.
And like, they become overrun.
Yeah. Like we were saying in the pre-show, you know, we want more content that'll work offline. I'm hoping that's what this leans into.
Yeah, you know, maybe you could play with bots. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, but you were saying one of the things they really needed to do was sort of differentiate weapon-wise and ability-wise why this is different than Splatoon 1. Mm-hmm. And aside from the sort of down-and-out ability to revive a teammate, we didn't really get that in terms of weapons.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I almost wonder if going through the footage again, will we see things they haven't shown before?
Sure. Maybe.
I couldn't tell just quickly watching.
Sure.
But trust us to go through this footage.
There's a thin line with sequels between if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And I think this is sort of treading that carefully right now,
no pun intended.
But I really hope that we do start to see this game absolutely define itself as a brand new entry in the franchise and not what just feels like more cool stuff from the original game. Mm-hmm.
All right, so then let's lean into ARMS at this point. So ARMS has a... So Splatoon 2, by the way, is coming out July 21st. ARMS is released June 16th, which is the week of E3 2017.
That's
it's
not
that
great
Friday.
For business.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But it is just in time for the spring deadline that Nintendo set when they announced the title back in January.
Right.
But let's talk about what they showed. So Min Min, a new character who has
ramen stage that was set in like a ramen bowl.
Yeah, it looked like a ramen bowl, absolutely. And they showed briefly a 2v2 mode that just looked crazy. And they staged a battle with an announcer that... To me, this went too long.
Yeah.
But granted, let's look at this for what it is. A fighting game, a new fighting game at that, is a hard thing to sell. Because unless you are into fighting games, and I don't know if we're necessarily the fighting game crowd.
Sure.
Like, I casually kind of play around with different games. Love watching my Street Fighter V tournaments and my Smash tournaments. But overall, I'm not sure if this game is going to find that middle ground yet. And I was hoping for more than one character reveal today. And so far, all we got was one.
Yeah, this looks like it seems like it's having a little bit of an identity crisis in terms of being a fighting game on, like, are you going to be deep and serious enough to be in the same breath as some of those games you mentioned before and maybe have a place at Evo some year? Or is this more a casual pick up and play, have fun? Like, it has some, like, Power Stone vibes to me, but not quite as party oriented.
And I think the answer is it's a little bit of both, but it's going to have a tough time finding that exactly what it needs to be, because I think when you play this game with motion controls, it definitely feels a little more button mashy. It definitely feels a little more casual,
which is crazy though, because that'll get you beat up so quickly. Like there is a methodology and there a meticulous sort of approach to how you have to fight someone. And I do think the first part of this presentation, specifically this fight you're seeing right here, is showing you that. I just think it went on a little too long. It needed a bit more energy. You know, when you think of some other fighting games, this is not to knock this for not having this, but there's sort of a flare at the end, like, oh man, they have their super, it's going to go down. I feel like I didn't really get that here, even though I may have gotten it and just, it happened and I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I think characters are really going to define this, and if people lock into the ones they really love, you might get a sort of like, I am getting minor like sort of Overwatch vibes from the way
the color art direction,
the way they're sort of overemphasizing the character, which is a very good place to be, right?
Yeah.
And the setting was cool, the art direction's awesome, it's bright and beautiful. I just want to see like how this really pans out. Like if you buy this game, is this going to be something that you'll predominantly want to play in single player, multiplayer?
My one worry is that everything I've seen so far, nothing looks bad, but the whole thing seems slight a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I just don't know what the meat and potatoes here yet.
Sure.
And that's not saying there aren't going to be. That's just saying that I haven't really seen them yet.
I agree. And I think the 2v2 mode is a smart way to at least get into some of that. I was hoping they would go more into what this game is. Instead, it started with a recap and then led to this fight, which again, I wasn't overjoyed with. But let's move on then with one more ARMS related thing, which was that they announced a neon Joy-Con set.
Yeah.
A neon Joy-Con strap.
Yep.
So if you're familiar with Joy-Con pricing, that's $80 for two of them. The color's really rad, and then you have also a strap attachment that can go with it for $7.99 normally. At least those are U.S. prices.
Yeah, and, you know,
and
this thing is bizarre.
So this is called the Joy-Con AA battery accessory. This to me
rolls right off the tongue.
rolls right off the tongue, and it is a it's sort of a thoughtful accessory that I don't think anyone wanted. And when I say thoughtful, what I mean by that is just that they're taking into consideration the folks that play ARMS are going to forget to basically attach them to their system to charge them. So that you don't have to go through the weight. You just slap these things on, you're ready to go. It looks like they attach by the rail. But that's not the thing that drains power the fastest.
Yeah.
Except if you're when you're playing portably, which is the issue, right? Like, the Switch itself needs a battery pack. Did the Joy-Con need one when they last for 20 hours?
It reminds me, it seems like it's for people who want to play ARMS but also weight train a little bit. It's like when Goku does push-ups and double gravity, so you can be playing ARMS with a little bit of extra weight.
No, it's like those guys who are really good at running and they put weights on their legs.
Yeah, like weird dudes.
You don't have to show off.
Yeah.
This is kind of asked a question like, who is this for specifically? Mm-hmm. But I will say that the neon Joy-Cons are really cool.
Yeah,
when we first saw the Joy-Con colors, we geeked out about the fact that like Nintendo is constantly re-releasing different colored 3DSs, but going through that whole process of like system transfers and buying a brand new system for $200, it's kind of not ideal, right? But the idea of here, I mean, Per Schneider, who does NVC with us, he has a whole bunch of different Joy-Cons, and he's like, today I'm going to go double blue. I'll go red.
It's like choosing a tile.
Accessorize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's cool that this yellow one is very much like the yellow in the title of ARMS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that clues me in that I could totally see for Splatoon we get these neon green and purples.
Yeah,
for Mario we get red and white. And I think that's a cool movement.
Well, here's the thing, right? No matter how we feel about the Joy-Con AA battery pack accessory, I'm saying it right
for the sake of saying it right.
I will say, though, that this is the first time so far with Switch where they've released something that is an attachment to the system itself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is going to continue. Like, I don't know what the accessories will be, and I don't think we could, even in our most lucid dreams, but I believe that there will be games that will come out with a specific accessory attached to what it does and why.
Do you remember when the 3DS got the boat?
The Frankenstick boat? Yeah.
I think this is going to be that for the Switch.
Yeah,
this,
but hopefully not as garish or as repulsive.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, that thing was comfortable. It was just ugly to look at. All right, so we had Minecraft Switch Edition is coming May 11th, and that it supports 8 players online, 4 in local multiplayer, even in tabletop mode. You can play 4-player split screen.
That's cool.
And it includes the Super Mario Mashup Pack. Retail version will ship later.
So it includes, right? It's not like, that's not separate DLC.
Yes. No,
okay, it's in the pack.
Included in the pack.
I think that's really cool.
You can buy whatever Minecraft DLC has come out that is cleared.
Yeah.
You can't have the Microsoft. This is
undeniably huge. This is one of the biggest video games ever in the history of the medium. It took years for Minecraft to come to Wii U, and I think they were a little late to the party on that. I was glad when it finally showed up to get this, because this is awesome. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I've played like 100 hours of Minecraft.
Okay.
I love this game. And I'm not even like, I'm not a little kid, as you can see, who hunches over a system like that and plays it for hundreds of hours like they did on iOS, Kindle, tablets, everywhere.
Yeah.
So this could be really big, and it's right around the corner.
Okay, really quickly before we go into some third party, I do want to mention the standalone dock is going to show up at retailers next month, so you can stop raiding the Nintendo Online Store to buy all the replacement docks, which
you can now scratch your Switch screen in any room of the house.
Possibly. So the Switch third party section, this is where my attention started to wane a bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even though the variety is there for at least genre, from the genre perspective, Nindies look better to me.
Yeah.
Nindies honestly look better to me. The Nindies presentation the week of the Switch launch was more exciting to me.
I mean, a lot of the third-party stuff I looked at and was like, well, why isn't it more than that? When we got Rayman Legends, I was like, well, why isn't also Rayman Origins and just pack all of them in together?
Well,
when we got
Legends is sort of like a hybrid of Origins.
But you're right.
Yeah.
But then when we got Monopoly, and you said immediately, you're like, there are officially licensed like Zelda, Pokemon,
Mario
Monopolies, like. Put that on there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, instead of Monopoly-themed Monopoly.
Yeah. It feels like a lot of these are like sort of like, hey, we're figuring out Virtual Console. You're going to be able to download a ton of classic games. Just here's some stuff before that. Like, give us time to figure that out.
So I think it also shows, it just also shows that third parties are taking this wait-and-see approach.
Yes.
They're very much going,
that's exactly it.
All right, let's see where this goes. Yeah. And some of them are leaning into nostalgia. Namco did that with the Namco Museum arcade, whatever that thing is called. Sega is obviously leaning into that a bit with Sonic. I mean, Sonic is a classic IP.
Yeah.
And then you have Capcom, who's doing it with Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Sure, right. And then you had all those SNK games. like
yeah, you have Arcade Archives as well. Yeah, so it just feels like for the majority of third party, they're just leading into old stuff to grab the casual consumer versus new exciting games.
But the great news is that Switch sales are really strong, and I think people are going to see that wait and see approach is going to turn into we want to be part of this conversation approach.
Yeah.
And I think by E3 and by fall, absolutely, you're going to get some really concrete, legit third party game announcements. And right now, they're playing it safe, and I honestly think that like there's some cool stuff in there. And it's going to help you sort of get through the week to week while you're waiting for the big tentpole Nintendo stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I want more.
So speaking of that, then let's run down what got announced with a date. Just tell me what you thought. Quick hot take. You got a minute. Mm-hmm. Don't spend too much time. So Puyo Puyo Tetris, April 25th.
Yeah, cool. I'm playing it now. We'll talk about that next week.
Don't stream it. You'll get arrested.
Okay. Disgaea 5. Disgaea 5 complete May 23rd.
Damon Hatfield is very happy.
Yeah, he's all over that.
Yeah.
Okay, but this falls into the port scenario for me where I'm like, okay, the Disgaea fan or the RPG fan is going to at least be well-serviced until Project Octopath Traveler shows up.
Rolls right off the tongue.
All right, Ultra Street Fighter II, The Final Challengers, May 26th. I'm excited for this game, only because I'm always excited for Street Fighter II. I think I bought it every time it comes out.
Yeah, I think
I'm not excited for the Hado whatever mode. I think that that's a bit silly for me.
Yeah.
But in terms of being able to pull out a controller and anywhere just drop a challenge on someone and be
play
like,
one of the best games of all time.
Yep. There's some interesting new ideas in this. The two-on-one mode that they're adding, the new violent Ken, which, spoilers, Ken was always violent.
The whole game is about street fighting.
I still think the pricing's a little much, $40, but we'll see who jumps on that.
Yeah.
Fate Extella is out July 25th. This is a Musou Dragon Warrior-style game that just didn't look good.
It really did not look like... It looked sort of ugly and garish.
Yeah. This might be one of those games that looks great when you're holding that screen up to your face, but I think it did not demo well here today.
No, it didn't look good. Project Mekura, which is out this summer. It's the butt-stomping Miis game that they talked about at GDC. So far, you guys don't seem as interested as I am, at least. Go.
I think with a game like that, the hook is that if it's fun to play, I don't care, but the art direction felt like... very chibi, Funko Pop, Master Chief.
It feels like a single Mario Party minigame.
Yes.
And I'm like, maybe you could take that one mechanic and make a hook out of it, but to me, I'm just like, butt stomping isn't one of my favorite things. It's in a lot of my favorite games, but it's not one of my favorite parts of those games.
Okay. Yeah, I would not put butt stomping in my top five favorite things either.
So Namco Museum is out this summer. Play Dig Dug again. For the first time?
Yeah, it's so...
Along with some others. There were some cool arcade games
I think
the cool
thing about this thing is the ability to turn it vertically and play in, like, the original arcade perspective, which is nice. I would like them to sort of put out a vertical stand for the Switch so you can pop off that screen and just play with two controllers side by side.
I like that idea.
Basically set up a little arcade cabinet on your
desk. So Sonic Mania out this summer. Sonic Forces this holiday. Let's just round them together. Sonic Mania looks fantastic. Sonic Forces, TBD.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll
And everyone who's played Mania has really loved it so far. And obviously now we haven't gone hands-on with Forces yet.
So Monopoly is out fall 2017. And like we said, even though it uses HD Rumble in a neat way, I just don't care. But you know what? That's a casual play. Give them the props for that, I guess.
Yeah, Marty and I were saying that board games are a good look for the Switch, even though like it doesn't seem like it's the best idea. But having two players right there with your own screen, it's the kind of thing where you can play a board game on an airplane.
Yeah, totally.
I'd like to see sort of a Hasbro collection. You know, bring more board games.
You don't bring
there.
Monopoly boards on airplanes and just like put them up and just like,
I lose all the money.
Rayman Legends Definitive Edition still does not have a release date, but it is coming out in 2017. And I'm only excited because Rayman Legends is a game I got to review when I first got to IGN. I really enjoyed it. The idea of playing it on the go excites me.
That was the last game I reviewed for IGN before I stopped reviewing games.
Oh, you're thinking of Origins. Rayman Origins.
Yeah, I'm Legends.
No, I'm Legends. Oh, you're
really?
Origins.
Oh,
wow. That's it.
What if we have two reviews on the site?
There might be.
It's called One Up.
So there it is. THQ Nordic is bringing Cinemora EX and Battle Chasers Night War this summer. Cinemora.
I love Suda. That is not one of the Suda games I love.
Okay,
That
being Grasshopper
Manufacturer. And I think the Battle Chasers is based off the Joe Mad comic, which is also sort of the Darksiders design. The
art direction's really cool.
Art direction's cool. I sort of want to see what the game actually
plays. I need to play it. My verdict was out on that one, but I did like art direction. Finally, Payday 2 is out in 2017.
I was really surprised to see that.
Yeah. Genre mismatch, audience mismatch a little, because you just don't expect the Nintendo fan to be into Bank Heist, but that doesn't mean that those people won't show up. That game's immensely popular. We just play it.
Yeah, and it's also, to me, like the sort of online shooter thing on a system that it might not be online all the time is always interesting. But that being said, it's a cool option to have. Like, if you can connect to Wi-Fi and play some Payday, go for it.
Yeah.
Right, let's transition then to Amiibo announcements. I think there were 13 Amiibo revealed during the stream, maybe.
Three Zelda, three Splatoon, and six Smash Brothers.
And a Pikmin.
And a Pikmin, there we go.
And a Pikmin, yeah, all right, so I think we hit the number. So let's start then with Cloud, Corrin, and Bayonetta.
Are these three boys right here?
Finally! Okay, or let's just start with Zelda, fine, since it's like that. Or both.
It's happening so quickly.
Let's go back to Majora's Mask Link, Twilight Princess Link, and Skyward Sword Link, please, only because I'd love to freeze frame it and just look at this. Because these are basically based off of the key art that was in those original games.
Key art?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure. So far, we're not going back, but that's okay. I think they look rad. They come out on June 23rd, the Zelda set. That's fantastic.
The Majora's Mask one is kind of questionable because I'm surprised they didn't just give you the Majora's Mask. Like, you have a Goron
mask. He's holding the Goron mask.
That's old key art. I've seen that pose like 100 times.
I'm a little bummed that if we're going to do more Zelda Amiibo that we don't do some of the awesome side characters in Breath of the Wild.
There they are.
Yeah, but
what about Bogoklon?
No, but like
there
some of
got
the,
him. He's wearing
like,
a G-string.
Like the four, no, they're not called Guardians. What are they? The Keepers of the Divine Beast.
Yeah.
Like the four of them would be cool. I want that sexy.
The champions.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at those ice heels that Skyward Sword Link is wearing.
Those occasionally show up, but you can see Nintendo's doing a much better job knocking it out of the park as far as some of the Amiibo designs go. Now, let's talk about the Cloud, Corrin, and Bayonetta Amiibo. Let's look at those on the screen. Finally, 19 months later, I did the math while we were waiting.
Jesus.
584 days since the moment those things got announced.
Your consolation prize for waiting so long is that you get them in two flavors each. And different poses, too, which was really interesting.
I need these to finish the set. I've never collected a full set of anything in my life. I decided the Smash Brothers Amiibo series would be the one time I would do it. And on July 21st, I am paying 13 times $6 to get them all.
I'm excited that we have like traditional Final Fantasy VII Cloud and then Advent Children Cloud, Bayonetta 1 and 2 Bayonetta.
I love that Corrin, there's male-female because they did not do that with Robin.
Yeah,
Robin
really
is
cool.
A similar character in Fire Emblem from Awakening. Same circumstance, main character, you get to choose gender. They did not have that. I'm glad they have that here.
They didn't say if these are going to come in two packs or not, did they?
They did not. I would assume they don't.
I would assume they don't. They know that these big adult Amiibo babies like us buy them no matter what.
What I fear is Bayonetta is GameStop exclusive and Target gets Cloud. Yes, again. Yeah, believe
right. The Wawa gas station in New Jersey.
There's a Pikmin Amiibo July 28th that comes
really
out with
like
the game.
This one.
I thought
this
that one looked
cute.
Really good. Yeah. I did not queue up footage or prepare our friends for it, but there was also the Splatoon Amiibo, which looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thought those Amiibo looked great. Definitely improvements over the first set. The first set looked great too.
Yeah.
Nintendo took a chance on Splatoon the first time around as a new IP. Those Amiibo were the top selling Amiibo in Japan because Splatoon hit so well there.
I was
wondering if they do the same for ARMS. I said, Amiibo.
Here they are. So I think that what's really awesome about these Amiibo is that the poses are incredibly playful.
Mm. Yeah.
And you look at the squid, like just the way he's flying off of there, and there's none of those like P stands or like the ice blocks that they're sitting on. There's some great stuff. Like the one in the middle is straight up like Nickelodeon
gas. Look at that Splat Dooley's right there too. Like
they're
on the
so
first
cool.
character.
They're
yeah,
so
that
cool.
looks great.
I think they look awesome. I was a little underwhelmed by how they're being utilized exclusively in the game, how they're sort of just like, it'll remember your outfit, and then you can
take pictures with them.
Yeah,
and that's two for two with Splatoon Amiibos not really having like the most defined usage. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a cool excuse for them to build these toys, but not necessarily.
Yeah, that's Amiibo in a nutshell, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it took us a long time to finally just admit, look, they're not finding the best use for them. It's cool that if I own a game down the line that supports one of them, I will swipe, scan, and see. You guys line up at my desk every freaking day to scan Breath of the Wild.
Because Zelda did it good.
I think Breath of the Wild did it really well.
It's a sweepstakes for an
outfit.
It's
great.
It's fun, though. It keeps you using it every day, right? Which is better than just like buying DLC once.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I will concede. So then, Nintendo 3DS is getting a proper send-off. So let's transition to that and talk about first... You know, in order of release, we have Fire Emblem Echoes is coming out on May 19th. We knew that. DLC is coming. Some will be free. Some will be paid. More details later, but there's a season pass.
Right.
We've seen this with Fire Emblem before a little bit. We've seen sort of the intent to sell more with that game. I know when Pear saw it at PAX East, they didn't want to say it one way or another. It's good to hear they will continue to support that game after it is out. Let's go down the list, though, of 3DS software, right? So Ever Oasis on June 23rd. Yeah. My favorite segment because the poor director of that game, producer, whoever that was, he looked terrified.
It looked like there was a gun off screen. Looked very strange. The game looks cool, though.
There's an RPG with sort of an Egyptian aesthetic behind it. And one that I'm really curious to play a lot more of. It's also being made by Grezzo, which is the team that made Ocarina of Time 3D for Nintendo and Majora's Mask 3D for Nintendo.
Good team. Did you guys feel throughout that entire 3DS thing, I'm like, these games look pretty cool, but I do wish they were on my Switch. Like,
I do feel that way, but I will admit that when we've seen this generational transition between Nintendo platforms, what Nintendo has done in the past is said, oh, Mother 3? Never mind. No, we're not putting this out. I feel like they're bringing out everything. I mean, Monster Hunter Stories is on this list. Let's go through it. So RPG Maker, FES, on June 27th. Not the hugest RPG Maker fan, but regardless, smart move for the people who care, I think. I would love to build Brian an RPG epic about him. I might just do that or challenge our listeners to, if there's a way to share that.
Build your best Brian game.
Build your best.
Wrath of the Wild.
There we go.
Yeah, it is.
We did it.
Hey, Pikmin will release on July 28th.
Love this title.
Okay, talk about what you thought of footage.
I think it's incredibly different for the franchise, obviously. This is not our first time seeing it, but we are seeing a lot of new stuff, like Olimar swimming, which is bizarre. Didn't know that man could do that, but he's got an airtight helmet, so it works.
Yeah, if he can space, he can swim.
Yeah, he ran on the water before.
This is a great franchise, and I think in lieu of waiting every 3 or 4 years for a legit sequel, this is a cool kind of stopgap. The two-screen thing is tripping me up. I don't think it's ever truly worked. We've seen it with Yoshi Island on DS. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with stuff like, going back to like Beautiful Joe.
The gap always sort of gets in the way.
It's always kind of an issue.
Yeah, let's see how it works out with this one.
Yeah, I like the fact it has like a Lost Vikings, Mario Donkey Kong vibe to it. Where it's sort of that 2D. Yeah, Lemmings, which is cool to me. I think that I would rather have this on a 3DS than a sort of dumbed down traditional 3D Pikmin game. But that being said, I would still love a Pikmin game on Switch.
The Amiibo usage is interesting because it's a portable game, so I guess you're bringing that too.
Yeah, they didn't go into specifics on what it does, but man, it looked great.
Like
really cool looking Amiibo. And hopefully the first time that Pikmin will hit well. I just feel like every game gets a lot of attention. I feel Pikmin 3 is a completely underrated game by a lot of people on
One
Wii
of the
U
best.
Yeah. Because it was on Wii U. But we move on.
Wii U has been said all day.
Yeah, it has. So Coldcept Revolt is coming on August 29th. If you know Coldcept, you know this game. Apparently, this announcement was already out there, so this is not new information. And Nintendo, proof once again that Nintendo likes to treat their Nintendo Directs as sort of a catch-all.
Yeah.
If you didn't know this, hear really quickly what it is. Yeah. And they weren't kidding this time.
Right.
Quick, by the way.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Stories is out this fall. I'm very excited.
Yeah. It looks like cel-shaded Monster Hunter Pokemon for a younger audience. And I think
it is
really
very
cool.
Much cel-shaded Monster Hunter Pokemon. That is probably the best way to describe it. Great graphics.
It'd be
really
interesting if
ideas.
They draw in a younger audience that are so, and then they're like, oh, this is cool. And then it's like, hey, you know, this is an entire franchise.
Yeah. So in Japan, this game is gorgeous. Was marketed to kids. It is sort of a lighter way to get into the Monster Hunter series. It has a, I believe it had a television series too at one point.
Or I could totally see that. Yeah.
Unless I'm getting my facts mixed up, but I'm really excited to play this, and I've messed around with the Japanese version. Really love it. We'll say no more word on the Monster Hunter Stories Amiibo though, and there are 6 of them.
Oh, really? In Japan?
Yeah. Capcom worked with Nintendo to make Amiibo in Japan for this. No mention on whether those are coming. Just that these will be here. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Then we have Yo-Kai Watch 2, Psychic Spectres. This is the third game in the Yo-Kai Watch 2
set. So it's
set.
Like the Pokemon Yellow of
pretty much. Unfortunately, at least for an older audience like us, Yo-Kai Watch 2 just kind of fell flat. Mm-hmm. Like we reviewed it for the site and it did not score well. It's a very pretty game, but not one with interesting enough mechanics to keep going.
Right.
I'm excited for, though, if 3 makes it over, because 3 could be the one where they fixed all that.
Yeah.
It's already out in Japan. But I find it hard to be excited about Yo-Kai Watch 2. But regardless, Nintendo's still chugging away with Level 5 on getting these games out for better or worse.
Right.
I'm excited about this next one, though. Miitopia
is
coming out. So this was a late holiday edition released in Japan last year. It's coming in 2017, no date. And this is a wacky Mii-based RPG where your party doesn't always agree on what to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of wacky interaction. It's almost RPG meets Tomodachi life in some sense.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're like all rooming in the same place. And like you have to make sure that they're all happy. And if they get pissed at each other, then all of a sudden that's going to come out in battle. They're going to be like, no, man, I'm not listening to what you're doing. I'm going to go slap this dude.
Yeah, it was so funny to watch. Like, and this is where Nintendo's charm shows up, because I love that they put their developers on the spot as Miis in those situations. Mm-hmm. And I just think it shows that flexibility. And you immediately know who you're looking at once you get that attachment.
This feels like a full-fledged version of a Mii Plaza game, and I mean that in the best way possible, whereas we saw the Kirby mini games from their old games kind of spin off as their own things. This feels like they took a core idea that they could have thrown there, but they turned it into like an actual full game, so that's really cool.
Yep. Next we have, stop everything. It is the 25th anniversary of Kirby, And a lot of Kirby stuff got announced. I only say this because it's a running joke on Nintendo Voice Chat. If you don't listen or watch, we are a weekly show on IGN where Per Schneider, the company GM, always says that a platform is about to go when they unleash all the Kirby games. And oddly enough, we got Kirby Clash Deluxe, which is a mini game from Planet Robobot. That's out today. It's a free to start game, and you can pay for the rest of it if you want. But if you own Robobot, you're not that interested in this because this is actually a mode you already have.
Yeah.
Then they follow that up with Kirby Blowout Blast, which is 25 plus stages. It's based off of the concept introduced on Robobot called 3D Rumble, but it is not the same. And that one is going to be out, I believe, this summer. Mm-hmm. It's not out yet. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction so far to these, by the way?
I mean, for this one specifically, I'm like, just play Smash Brothers. Like, it's already there, and Kirby's in it. Yeah. And so it's so a bunch of Kirby characters. Like,
This looked cool. I thought this mode looked cool.
Yeah, so this is the most interesting one, because this feels like the most new thing. Everything else is like, if you're a Kirby fan, you have these games on your 3DS already, because you bought them.
I just love that the Kirby team takes a chance on these minigames and then will release them later for folks who maybe said, you know what, I pass on Robobot, but I want to play a co-op game. Hopefully there's an audience that will sort of jump into it and like it. This next announcement, there's a new multiplayer Kirby action game for 3DS. It has no title. All they want you to know is that this thing exists.
Working title.
Also, it will be out this holiday.
According to Per, it's probably the last 3DS game ever.
Really?
Probably Per is tweeting that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And then we have Bye Bye Box Boy, which is
out now.
Will be released today. There's an eShop demo where you can play all three Box Boy games if you've never played any of them. And this is... So the Box Boy series is kind of the sort of small cult hit, I feel, at least within the office. I know I've put a lot of time into it. You've played it. Yep, Paris played it. Really clever puzzle design made by HAL Labs, the guys behind the Kirby series.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I put it in the same vein as like Pushmo, where it's these really smart, really sort of small, tight puzzle games with a really strong aesthetic. I love the fact that if you have Box Boy 1 and 2 that you can sort of get that monochrome, like almost like the original Game Boy aesthetic.
These amiibos are a functionality is really cute too.
Totally. I like that functionality.
Yeah, and the Box Boy amiibo is not part of this set. Which there is a Box Boy amiibo that was released in Japan. And there's a way, I think, to buy them if you're in Australia or something. I can't remember. I think the online retailer has it. But no, I'm excited. I think that unlike Pushmo, I think the thing that I love most about Box Boy is that I feel like Pushmo would talk you to death going over the rules, whereas Box Boy just goes, go, learn, enjoy, explore, play. And that to me is why I'm really excited to jump back into it.
Yeah, and I think it was an impressive direct. Like in terms of 3DS stuff, they didn't really knock anything out of the park with like a capital triple A game.
No,
but I think they gave us enough like smaller things that it's like, hey, if you still have a 3DS and maybe you haven't jumped on board Switch yet, we're not forgetting about you yet.
Yeah.
Like we still care, and here's you know a handful of really cool games going to be coming out for the next couple of months.
Yeah, there's still some life left, and your system purchase is justified for at least another year. So.
Yeah, I will say a few more comments. Just I thought it was cool that they ran Yoshiaki Koizumi as the point man. You'll remember him from the Nintendo Switch presentation back in January. This is the general manager for the platform, one of two people who were like really top dogs on it. And I'm really happy to just see more of him.
Yeah.
I feel like he is the new face for them and for this system specifically. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit sad that they didn't find more charming ways to take advantage of his personality. Because that whole magic show bit in the January presentation was absolutely amazing. And that was not here.
Yeah. I mean, he has like an internal energy to him and he seems enthusiastic, which I think is cool. Like, put someone like that up front. Don't put like a, you know, sort of a boring suit. A lot of companies will put a boring suit just reading off a PowerPoint.
Oh,
whereas, like, this is like, he seems like a guy who wanted to be there, which is cool.
I mean, Nintendo's been experimenting with this direct format for a few years now. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, you know, we've seen a variety of different ways that presentation can unfold, from puppets to animated stuff to Mega 64.
Yeah.
And this is a new take for them, obviously, and it's faster and it's more energetic, and some of it worked and some of it didn't.
Yeah, I think they need to slow down overall.
Yeah.
That's my final like sort of just take on it. I just think there was a lot of interesting stuff in here. Maybe not all of it deserved to be in one place.
Yep.
Maybe Nintendo Direct does not need to be a catch-all. Like, don't treat it that way.
Some of these could have been a press release, honestly. A trailer and a press release afterwards.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, we're 2 months-ish out from E3. Do you think we hear from Nintendo before then, or do you think, I mean, obviously games are going to be released, but do you think that this is the last Direct before, you know, the E3 Direct or conference or whatever they do?
I think it is. Yeah. I think that the next time you hear from them, it's just, here's our E3 plans. Yeah. They do this, the funny video or the charming, you know, the past 2 years in a row, they've done, how are we going to go to E3? And then they do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think you'll see more of that. It'll point to the date of their conference, which is always that Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it will tease what it will tease. And we talked about it, right? I mean, you've got Mario Odyssey to talk about still, which everyone is excited to hear about. You've got more Splatoon 2 to talk about, single player specifically. Xenoblade 2, you've lied to me before, Nintendo, about Xenoblade. You've kept me hanging for years on Xenoblade Chronicles X. Oh, wait. And there's more. Yeah, seriously, Metroid. We're watching. Yeah.
I don't need the entire E3 booth to be dedicated to Metroid. I just need like 70%.
You want Zebes?
Yeah, you want Zebes? Like last
year. Yeah, give me some Zebes.
I think it's pronounced Zebes.
It doesn't matter. It's a fake word. Fake word.
Yeah, so you agree this will be the last time we hear from him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think you guys are right. Press release, maybe some news tidbits here and there. Yeah. That's about it.
The occasional product that we didn't see coming, but otherwise, save it all and come out strong at E3.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And hopefully, I think now that all these third-party games that you don't care about, like Monopoly, or at least we don't care about because we're sort of the hardcore segment, that means at E3 you have more interesting things to say to me.
So. Yeah.
You got those things out of the way, so
yeah,
I'm excited.
I hope a company like Ubisoft got these out of the way that we were a little underwhelmed by, and that E3 maybe they have something cool to say.
Because those games feel more like a favor than they deserve any kind of fanfare to me. Like, I'm just like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's exciting to me that they're going to be able to focus a lot on Mario and games we don't know about yet, which I think is really exciting.
I mean, I think Ubisoft specifically has a lot to say about 2017 in the coming months. You know, they got whatever they're doing this fall, and we'll see how much that lands on Switch.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of it.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We've done it. Our first Nintendo Voice Chat, Nintendo Direct post show. Thank you so much for joining us, Marty.
Of course.
Brian, and of course Jose. You can find us on Twitter. You can find Marty at
McBiggity.
You can find Brian at
Agent Bizzle.
You can find myself, Jose_Otero. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll be back next week with more Nintendo Voice Chat.
Here we go.
All right, welcome back, and we're going to talk about our final thoughts on Nintendo Direct. Joining me to talk about it, Brendan Graber.
Yo.
Brian Altano.
Hey.
And Per Schneider.
Hey.
You're playing a 3DS.
What year is it?
What?
What?
I am.
It's a Super Metroid. Have you guys played this?
Oh,
no, it's really good.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
I've heard that's a good game.
It's a really good game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so Per and Brendan, you guys were not on our post show yesterday's capacity was limited. Actually, you were both busy. Why don't you guys talk a little bit about what you thought of that Direct? Because Brian and I have pretty much done it to death at this point.
You want to go first, Per?
Sure. I thought there was a lot in it, and it was slightly more than I expected because I thought it was going to be Splatoon, like a deeper dive, which we got. And by the way, I love that there's a 4-player co-op mode right off the bat. Very excited to actually see that.
Same.
And then, you know, I was expecting some more Mario Kart, but I wasn't too excited about it because I've played it, I've seen everything, I know it's a deluxe re-release. So I was actually pleasantly surprised by some of the smaller announcements. Yellow Joy-Con, you guys know I cannot resist buying more colors for this thing.
You were the first person I thought of when they said this, and the only person I thought of.
This is going to be terrible.
Actually, I was talking a lot of smack when I was like, oh yeah, different colors, I'll never do that. I own 6 Joy-Con right now.
What?
Surprisingly, that happened. What continue. Happened?
Just think, I mean, when we got yellow and blue in the comments, it's going to be awesome. So I like that, but overall, whenever there's a Direct, I always hope that it's more than I think it's going to be.
Sure.
And I thought it was going to be Splatoon and Mario Kart. And that's essentially what I got. You know, those
what
were
about
the
arms. You didn't say arms.
Yeah, but arms. So I'm not that into arms yet. What I played was fun, but I couldn't see myself playing it or going nuts for it like for Mario Kart, Splatoon or Zelda, right? And so I hope to be pleasantly surprised by that game, but that's not going to...
But you're a casual finding fan, too. And so far, do you see the casual appeal at all?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fun game to play with the kids, for sure.
Okay.
But it's not one of those games where I'm, like, setting my alarm and, like, I'm just dying to play it. And so I always hope, though, that there's, like, something, like, a glimpse at what Nintendo's overall big strategy is, like a big third-party announcement, like confidence that the machine will have a great software lineup past... You know, post like the kind of like the big Nintendo, like the cadence that they've built with the releases in the next couple of months. So I was expecting a little bit more on that front, but you know, I thought it was fine. It didn't knock my socks off. I wasn't that excited about it either.
Brendan,
Yeah, I thought it was very fast paced. I don't want to snap the fingers, but it was very on point. They didn't lag in one area for too long. They spent time in arms.
Was it too fast though?
No, because I think
both of you. No. You first.
For me, So I think for the things that I wasn't interested in, they weren't overstaying their welcome. It was just here's some indie games. Okay, bye.
And
okay,
get it out of here.
Yeah. And the things that I saw, nothing was oh, this is terrible. Things like Arms, I'm not fully committed to it yet, but it interested me more than I first saw it, because now I'm okay, there's more to it than I thought there was. There's a lot of customization.
And kicks.
Some kicks, some special moves. Yeah, some legs, some yellow Joy-Cons. I'm not getting those, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Isn't that crazy?
So what about you on pacing?
I thought it was really fast. I think they were aware of it because they have the structure now where they show what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of the mystery out of it for me.
They had some question marks. The menu. Guessing.
I like it better without. I like it better with just not knowing what's coming. And then, oh, by the way, yeah, the Amiibo. It was a couple of Amiibo here, a couple 13, of Amiibo there, 13, right?
Yeah.
In that, so it was very busy. But, again, it's I'd rather have too much information in something like this that gives me confidence that there's plenty to play and plenty to do than, walking away going oh, was that it?
And I think the solution for the headlines is just cover them up before you unveil it and then just run with your minute long. I don't know. I felt like it was narrated by the Micro Machines guys. And we got Monopoly. All right, next topic.
It was packed. Yeah, it was packed with stuff. And crazy to see the Amiibo stuff, by the way. That they are, the three links. Mm-hmm. Instead of going for a more unusual character from that universe to go again for Links. I mean, we're going to have a lot of Links on our shelves.
Right. Yeah.
And then the same for Splatoon, where we get variations on, the three existing ones rather than one of the amazing salmons. What the hell, by the way? the salmons nightmares.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say we might end up getting an Amiibo for every Link, which is kind of cool. If we get one for Link Between Worlds, it's flat, that looks like Game & Watch. Or we get one for Link's Awakening.
That's not bad.
Maybe get some monochrome ones for the Game & Watch.
Yeah, for the Splatoon ones, I would like to see other characters. I would like to see the what was it? The shrimp that he had the little shoes.
Yeah. Or any of the shopkeepers.
Yeah, there's a new shopkeeper called Merch. And apparently he's the new vendor where you'll get sort of item rerolls.
But I think Nintendo, I think, knows what they're doing. When you go to Target, you'll see 100 Pokoblins, right, and no Links. People clearly want the cool characters, and people like us who are collectors or overbuy and have big variety care more about the smaller characters.
Yeah. Sure.
No, it's a good
Links,
move.
Do we get more Amiibo costumes?
Presumably that's it. It's going to fill. I'll be back for more. Just a few more thoughts from you, though, if you had anything else to add for the Direct.
This may seem strange, but I was actually kind of happy to see some party games in that lineup, Monopoly.
You're the only person
I
know.
You are excited.
It is very strange,
Monopoly.
but what I found is that the Switch is a perfect thing to just bring to a gathering. And if you have a party game, I know they've announced the Jackbox Party Pack. That's a perfect party game. To be able to bring that on the go instead of having to take a laptop around with a Steam file or whatever. And then you have, digital Monopoly. If there's some other party stuff in there.
He's like Karen in the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I'd be Karen.
Rooftop parties and all that.
I'm a big fan of tabletop games, and I could think of 100 board games that I would love to have in digital form that makes playing easier. It's just Monopoly is it's the most famous one. It's just it's not a great game.
Yeah.
Either. So
but I
I'm
kind
just
of
like
opens
oh,
a door.
Not again. Yeah. I hear you.
Not again. Okay. Well, that's not what I expected to end on, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So then let's move over to the next topic, which is that today we heard the NES Classic is being discontinued. And Nintendo spoke to us, gave us a statement, and answered a few questions, which we're going to quickly summarize for you in case you're just learning about this. Started off with a statement saying that basically the last shipments of the NES Classic Edition for this year will be going out to retailers throughout April, and that's it. We encourage anyone interested in obtaining the system to check with retail outlets regarding availability. We understand that it has been difficult for consumers to find a system, and for that, we apologize. We have paid close attention to consumer feedback, and we greatly appreciate the incredible level of consumer interest and support for this product. A couple of follow-up questions really quick before you guys jump in.
How can you let them get away with that? This says, we're sorry you couldn't find one. It's got to be much harder now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
No,
that's,
and it's
You're
it's
not
absurd.
Sorry then.
Who? I mean, no, they're not sorry. Yeah. You're not saying I'm not sorry.
No, no, I'm sure they're sorry because they could have sold more. There's got to be, I don't want to be too snarky, there's got to be good reason for them to not manufacture more, right? Yeah. Like they need the factories to make these little babies or whatever. But it's such an odd thing. Yeah.
Before we speculate, let me just get the questions that we got answered, though. We asked, what happens to the classic brand that you launched with this system? We have nothing to announce at this time. We asked, in the statement, it said it left open possibly the possibility to sell more past 2017, because it very specifically, the wording said the last shipments are going out for this year. And they said, at this time, we have no plans to produce more NES Classic Edition systems for the North American regions. We asked if the NES Classic, if you have one and it needs to be repaired, will NOA still offer customer support of it? They're looking into that. They did not have an answer for that right now.
Wow.
Surprised by that, because I would have thought they would have thought about that, and they did not. Does this include discontinuing the NES Classic controller? That is a yes. Accessories are up to the manufacturers. We asked, by the time shipments end, how many units of NES Classic have been produced overall? We have nothing to announce on this topic. this was the answer that really surprised me, because this was not made clear.
Is it we have nothing to announce?
No.
Okay.
Did Nintendo always plan for the NES Classic as a limited run item, or was it supposed to have a longer window of availability? And the answer was, NES Classic Edition wasn't intended to be an ongoing long-term product. However, due to high demand, we did add extra shipments to our original plans. Good luck finding them.
Should have called it limited edition or something.
The best, from the beginning.
The best take I've seen is like, hey, these things are selling well. What should you do next?
No.
That's there. That's pretty much.
Yep.
All right. So have at it. We don't know if other territories are going to do the same thing. Presumably they are.
Yeah.
So Europe, Japan, everyone's basically shutting this party down.
This actually reminds me of the Direct, because when they announced the standalone dock, they were pleased to announce limited quantities of a Switch dock.
Okay, I didn't even remember that, but
yes,
I know. The
wording was very like, hey, we're pleased to announce this thing you're not going to be able to find because we have limited quantities.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I mean, there's the argument that they're doing this because of just shortfalls on production, and they... Obviously, there's demand for the Switch because you cannot... There's no Switch is ever in stock for more than a couple of minutes anywhere, right? Like, that thing goes away. But the other is clarity of message. Like, they may just want to tell a very clean story that this is the Nintendo machine you need to get, rather than having someone walk into a store and go, what should I get? Well, maybe I'll get the Classic. It's way cheaper. You know, who knows?
But with that device, you were reaching a consumer that wasn't going to buy a Switch.
Yeah. It's also in lieu of the fact there is no current virtual console plan for the Nintendo Switch.
That might be the other reason, right?
Well, yeah. If you want to get your retro game fix, like, where are you getting that specifically? And the thing is, I think people are savvy enough now to figure out that there's alternate means to get those games, and that's not good for Nintendo's business.
Not good
you
for
know?
Business, no.
Like, I loved the NES Classic. I got lucky one day. We shouted out Amazon Prime Now, which I noticed a bunch of NVC fans were able to get their Switches through.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Keep looking through there if that's what you're looking for, your Nintendo hardware. That's how I got my NES Classic. And that was really cool. I brought it home over Christmas. My brothers sat around and played it for every night I was home the entire Christmas break. They are both like very lapsed gamers, but you know, something like that can bring you back in. And you remove that opportunity from people, and it sucks. Plus, there's hardcore Nintendo fans who buy everything that still can't get one of these things. So I think it's like, had they sort of serviced all the needs of everybody who was looking for one of these and then went quiet on it, it's one thing. But this thing has had trouble since day one.
Yeah, and I think that's the unfortunate
part
of this.
Yeah,
no, it's completely... I just think it looks really bad for them, because anyone who... And when I say really bad, I mean that relatively, because Switch is hot right now. People care about it. We've been talking about how much of a positive experience it's been. But I don't think you want to hurt your customers with just a terrible shopping experience. And you can't just put that on retailers, and you can't just act like you're not at fault for some of that.
Totally,
I mean, when you announced this thing July 15th, 2016... The internet exploded about it, and even then you didn't make changes. And we've speculated about it before. Did Switch's production in some ways interfere with this? Nintendo's always been a Japanese conservative company where when a product is flying off the shelves, they try not to overdo it. I know you can walk into Target right now and be like, there's a lot of Animal Crossing Amiibo on here.
Right.
But that's not your typical scenario. I hate to point that out.
Yeah.
My running thesis right now for this, because I'm working on something, is the NES Classic sort of one step forward for repacking and selling classic games and two steps back for Nintendo? Now, I say that because one of the things, obviously, this is an emulation box. This is a plug-and-play device, which is smart. You plug it into your TV, you go forward and just play whatever it is. Cord was too short, but we've said that plenty of times before. And you pick the right games for the machine. There were not, there wasn't that much to complain about, right? It was 30 really smart classic games. And then you went above and you did look and feel, which has been done before. You got your janky Sega box. I've seen it at your desk.
Yeah.
But that thing, you can feel creaking, right? Like it wasn't really that solid.
It's a little rough around the edges, yeah.
It had a wireless controller, but this, you have to like sit right next to it. Like,
yeah,
it was,
plus
it was
I mean the UI on the NES Classic is awesome, yeah, right? Like it's really cool. It's really clean. It's fun. Like it inspires you to pick a different game and like flick around through all the different options.
So these were all
cool.
Positive steps, and even the quality of emulation, the fact that like 1080p display, like very simple, you want your CRT mode, we have a filter for it. It's not as in-depth as a $500 NES you can get from like I'm forgetting the name of that thing, the analog, the analog mini NT, like that thing is just, that is the hardcore emulation device. If you want a device that does that, it's got a hefty
rolls
price
right
tag
off the
for
tongue.
It yeah, it does. Now, the step back was not enough demand, not enough production was the biggest step back, I feel. Yeah. I also feel like for a company like Nintendo that right now, or at least last year around this time, was constantly trying to remind you, we're an entertainment brand. Mm-hmm. We're going to branch out. We're going to try different things. This was a different step that was positively received that I don't want to say everyone, a lot of people wanted.
Yeah. I think it's bizarre.
They didn't follow through.
It's bizarre to make something that's so simplistic in its plug and play ability and UI and ease of use that is so completely the opposite of that when it comes to actually trying to obtain one. I mean, the hoops that people have gone through to get this, the eBay auctions, and they've all like jumped up like crazy in the last few hours. Since this story broke this morning.
$180 plus.
Yeah, it's insane. And you know, and people scalp these things, people snatch them up, and they sell them by the dozens on eBay.
I think for like 46 of those.
Yeah.
And they're rising in price.
Yeah, I never like to see thrown at Nintendo constantly, you're leaving money on the table. And I always just kind of roll my eyes because I'm like, well, what do you know? It looks like this is true.
Yeah, we've said from the jump that this should have been the device that you can walk as you're walking out of a Walgreens or a Target or a Walmart.
Yeah.
It's on an end cap.
Sharper Image.
You grab it, Sharper Image, everyone's favorite store to get a massage and buy a $7,000 pinball table. Just casually.
Setup and the spike.
Just casually. Just passing through the mall. That should have been there, right? That should have been something you grab, you throw it in your car, like the same way you get a candy bar or something. It's a little more expensive, obviously, but it's a sort of like impulse buy.
And you know, obviously, Nintendo now has two machines, two active machines in the market with the Switch and the 3DS.
And
I always imagined that they will have a cheap version of Nintendo gameplay, like a Game & Watch or something. And the NES Classic got close to that. Like a Game Boy Micro, but not at a premium. You know, a small device you can have with you at all times. I gotta think there is some... It's not just madness, right? It's not... They don't like pissing off customers. Like... Mm. Does this mean that there's an announcement around the corner for a virtual console?
Right.
You know,
so I have a couple theories there, and I'm glad you said that. Right. I think, obviously, Switch is going to have its virtual console. There's no question. Thanks. That was really harming the table and the camera shot right now. trying to find my thought.
That was throwing away the...
Yeah, you're just
throwing away
the idea. Yeah. I wonder if, okay, so Switch is going to get its virtual console. That's inevitable. There are plans that are being put together, if not figured out. I wonder, though, the one thing we're not talking about, what if this is a discontinue and try again? What if the angle on this perspective from their side is, this product, we are struggling to get it out the door. This is not the right fit for this. Let us try again when we're ready.
Here are two NES-colored controllers for you, Switch. And
no, I don't necessarily.
And the launch of
so you
this,
think they'll always
plan.
Just tie it to Switch? You think that this was just a look, the market reacted, but we want to drive them towards Switch? You think that was
they're
the
gonna
thinking?
Launch this summer? They're gonna launch their subscription business, and you get a free classic game free every month that you get to play. I think they want it to be super clear. You want to play like a, you know, a classic NES game online with your friends, with your NES theme controllers.
Your casual consumer. There are people whose grandparents wanted to play this thing, or their parents who haven't been into games forever.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying. I think that's the direction they want to go.
I just don't think you look at that reaction and just say, no, we're disregarding those people. Like, I do think there has to be something else to this. Yeah. There has to be.
Do you think this will drive some people towards illegal emulation?
Yeah, of course. It already did. Anecdotally, I have like five friends that tried to get one of these things, couldn't, and built a Raspberry Pi, and now they're good. Like what you can't get from a Raspberry Pi because they're garish is the form factor of classic NES.
They're not garish. I've seen worse.
No, but it doesn't have that.
They're not great.
It doesn't have the look and feel.
Yeah, no, like it doesn't feel like the NES, right?
Yeah. 3D printed stuff is just. It's not there yet, you know? It feels kind of Dollar General.
I got to see what Raspberry Pis you've seen, but all right, fine.
Are we talking about the food? Or
yeah, we might be.
No, they should be able to sustain if one of the theories here is that they can't make a Switch and a 3DS and an NES Classic at the same time, kill off one of your 3DSs. You're making 70 of them. Right? How many different form factors are there for the 3DS?
Yeah, but they've quietly pulled that stuff away from market, and we just never noticed. Like
the wedge is gone,
Target,
right?
Yeah, the wedge is still around. The stores still had them. Yeah, the 2DS is still out there.
Okay, good.
It got redesigned, dude. Like they changed the colors on it and everything over Christmas, but then they were really hard to find over Christmas. Mm. I don't know. One day Nintendo has to really figure out what their supply situation is. Yeah. Like honestly,
I don't know if by now they haven't figured out how to get Amiibo in people's hands, which they still haven't, right? Like you said it, there is every Animal Crossing amiibo ever you want at your store.
That was a lame game.
And you can't get freaking Link. And guess what came out? The Legend of Zelda. Is it that hard?
The Ocarina of Time Link that I saw people tweeting about they were going on eBay auctions for because they want that costume and they can't just walk in a store and buy it, even though there's a new Zelda out.
Okay, but with Animal Crossing, do you think they misread the market and specifically market's ability to recognize an Animal Crossing character?
They also thought that their party game would be a hit and...
Yeah.
I mean, every piece of software they push out, they hope is a hit. Like, they're going to front that, whether they believe it or not. I don't think that that's an indicator.
I don't think you would see
it. I'm talking more franchise appeal. Like, Animal Crossing sells well. It does. Yeah. It's been a top five performer for, I think, the last two consoles.
I think they had a better hit with the cards, the Amiibo.
But they also looked at, you know, even people freaking out over not being able to find Wii Fit Trainer. Right? Wii Fit Trainer is not... a character that kids are clamoring to play as or to have, right? And yet that sold pretty well, imagine.
My wife loves yoga, and she saw that Wii Fit Trainer, and she's like, can you get me one for work? And I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. No, this is mine.
But I think
these are impossible to find.
I think they looked at that, and they overestimated how long the kind of craziness around collecting them all would last. And the moment you have all the Animal Crossing animals that look very similar, I think some of the air came out. And they ended up with them sitting on store shelves.
And some of that was tied to the fact that, like, in Smash Brothers, you collect character trophies. It's something you've been doing since, you know, for decades now. And that was sort of loosely connected to being able to do that in the real world. There was a tangible kind of connection there. With Animal Crossing, I think they misread it. I have a feeling that had they put out a full-fledged, actual, legit Animal Crossing game, you would have seen a lot less on the shelves.
Me too.
Because I think that there would have been a deeper connection intrinsically to those figures.
Yeah, if you think about it, they tried again with an update to a 3DS game that no one was really expecting, and they repackaged that 3DS game hoping that maybe it would move the needle, and I don't know. Like, I'm kind of confused.
I feel like that was like a better attempt than...
Say again?
The cards. Amiibo cards.
I bet you they sold better than the Mario Sports Amiibo cards.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, look, this is not a first for Nintendo that they have supply chain issues or issues manufacturing enough units. Yeah. Like, it goes back to the Wii. The Wii did all right in the end. They managed to get lots of units in people's hands with the NES Classic. Whatever the reasons, they're not going to do that.
But does it hurt a brand? Do people look at that and go, oh, yeah, there was this thing they made I really want that could never find it?
There was a sheer terror around the launch of Switch because of this
perception. I don't think it hurts the brand at all. I think it makes it more premium. Yeah. Like, if anything, it's like, you got it.
Don't tell them that.
No, but if you want one, they know. You want one, you gotta go through to some efforts, right? And then it makes people also feel special. It's like, whoa, you have a Switch, right?
Well, how many people do you know that pre-ordered like two or three Switches at the off chance that one or two would get
canceled? Oh, I know several.
Yeah, I'm one of them. You're one of them. Yeah. You're one of them, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like,
ruined it for everybody with
Yeah, well,
switches.
I canceled mine, so I hope you got it. But there was a sheer terror around that. And then when my Amazon order got delayed, I was like middle fingers up to the entire world because I thought this is going to be an Amiibo situation.
I've never seen you that disappointed in my three years working here.
That was actual depression.
Yeah. All right, I need to move forward because we do have to move on.
It's all better now.
I think we've said everything we need to. Nintendo, because you occasionally listen, this was not a good move. And hopefully when you trot out the – I think you should trot out the idea again of a virtual console device separate from Switch. I think that you tapped into an audience you did not expect. Your super fans showed up because they always freaking show up.
Right.
But when – it is the top story on Rolling Stone, or it's the top story on like websites that have nothing to do with video games. If Good Morning America is that excited about it, you tapped into something that has potential.
Hello,
it
limited
does.
Super Nintendo emulation.
I mean, I would say Brendan and I are super fans. We tried to show up. Like, there was not even enough for super fans.
I know, yeah. But it was just I mean, not I'm not enough. Saying that, yeah. But just more like anything they put out will obviously attract Superman. It's just more you actually attracted someone else this time, and you weren't ready.
You said Superman. I was like,
super fan.
Ooh, that's you.
Superman 64.
We're the loser.
All right, so let's move forward to let's just have some quick thoughts on some games we've been playing. You and I have been playing Mr. Shifty, which is a new game, action title in the vein of Hotline Miami, but you have the powers of Nightcrawler. The perspective is top down. Talk about your experience.
Yeah, I really dig this game. It's not the typical type of game I'd play on a Nintendo console, because outside of the fact that there's no blood in it, it's a pretty violent game, conceptually.
Yeah.
It's about this guy who's like a sort of no-name protagonist named Mr. Shifty with a red hat on and a blue coat.
And it's a heist.
And it's a heist. And he goes into this tower that's very Die Hard-ish, and he basically goes floor by floor, taking down just waves of bad guys.
Killing everyone.
You don't use guns. You can pick up some melee weapons, and that's about it. All the other enemies have guns and fists and turrets and all kinds of stuff. And the thing that separates it from other games of its ilk, specifically something like Hotline Miami, is that you have like five dashes that you can do. You can basically teleport.
Like Nightcrawler,
10 feet ahead of you. And the dashes
up to five times in a row.
Five times in a row, which can happen very quickly. And using that through walls and then chaining attacks between different enemies gets this kind of combo system going, which is really rewarding. And you end up, like, if you can nail it, walking in a room, teleporting in a circle, and just quicksilvering every dude.
Well, you're like Nightcrawler in the X-Men 2 opening when he attacks the lighthouse.
Yeah,
like, that's an awesome scene.
It's really, really cool. And it feels great. And I was worried that this game felt a little too Hotline Miami-ish. Mm-hmm. But I think what it loses in that sort of style and flavor, it gains in the puzzle element that it brings in by having that shifting, jumping ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think brings it to a different level than Hotline Miami, which sort of a lot feels very trial and error-y, where you're kind of rushing into a room with a machine gun over and over and over.
Interestingly enough, though, I felt like Hotline Miami had better presentation.
Definitely.
And music. I mean, I feel like the music was awesome. Better. I thought the concept was like just coked out, really weird story.
The animal masks,
And I think that Mr. Shifty has a core premise in the heist, but then it's all these cartoon characters around you. You have someone in your earpiece who's your accomplice, and none of the dialogue is very memorable. And then you have Mr. Stone, who's the antagonist, who basically owns the building, the guy you're trying to rob from. And he's also a cardboard cutout of a character. Mm-hmm. And whatever, it's pulpy. It's supposed to be forgettable. It's not supposed to be award-winning material.
It feels very like 90s after-school cartoon.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't
know.
I'm too old. Like, I didn't appreciate it. Like, I was just there like, I like my cartoon references and reference material when done right. I just think this was poorly done.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's like the setup is thin, but ultimately it's not really what I'm there for. I think it is
the action. No, and I agree with you there.
It kind of nudges the story along, but I mean, like, most of the dialogue is done with one drawing of one woman giving you sort of like a heads up display.
Or the villain saying,
or the villain popping in.
I'm going to kill you.
You can die in one hit.
Yeah, so you can die in one hit. If you're shot once, you will die immediately. And then as you progress, the enemies start developing different types of technology to deal with you, or start introducing different kinds of technology. So there's like missile turrets where the missile will follow you around if you run, but you can teleport to get away.
Yep.
But the explosion can still take you out if it hits an object that you're next to.
Yeah.
They also have these temporal displacers that basically nullify your ability. You cannot teleport in these rooms, and they do this cool — this is the one time the audio gets cool — they do this audio thing where the music sort of just fades into the background and you just hear the lowest version of it. And it sounds like there's a lot of noise.
Like sounds like you're wearing earmuffs.
Yeah, it sounds like you're wearing earmuffs and you are separated completely from the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. That is a really cool effect, and it instantly communicates that you're in an environment where you don't have ultimate control.
The other
now, the
audio
way you toy with enemies, though, is fantastic. And I want to throw this in there because I think that this is really important. The teleport mechanic and the way... Yes, you only pick up melee weapons, but then there's a point in the game where you could pick up there's these proximity mines on the ground, and when you get close to them, they start cooking. Like you hear first beep, second beep, third beep, you gotta get rid of it or get away from it. You could pick it up and be holding it. So I could pick up a mine in one room, teleport through the wall, throw it on a guy, teleport out of the room. He's standing next to two
that's
people.
Cool.
Boom.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll run into like a crowd of bad guys and take them all out.
I was hoping it would have like guns and stuff like Smash TV type stuff, but it's all
so
melee
it's got
based.
Stuff like
you'll
that,
mostly
you
use
feel,
your fist. Too.
Yeah, and you feel really cool when you like pick a mine, do that, pick a mine, go there. Yeah. And you want to watch it, but you can't see it because the like what happens because the camera is so limited. But like, you can sort of adjust the view slightly to just see what's happening in the next room. But it's not like you have 100% sensory perception of, oh, what happened in that room? Like, are they all dead? I don't know. Okay, let me go check.
But I also don't think
like
it feels...
Badass.
You really do. Yeah. Like, I think the gameplay in this game is awesome. It feels like it's... The fact that they keep comparing it to, like, Nightcrawler meets Hotline Miami, I think is, like, kind of reductive because I think it's a lot more than that. Like, the puzzle element of it is really smart to me.
Action puzzle.
Yeah, totally. And I love that. And I think one of the other audio cues I really love is that it's got this, like, sort of, like, 90s Rage Against the Machine cover band soundtrack, which is, like, whatever.
It's one song.
But when you die, the music hits this, like, record scratch and everything goes gray. So it'll be like...
Yeah, and that's a cool effect.
And then you're,
effect.
Like, within a second and a half, you're right back in there. So it's got that Hotline Miami thing. Yeah. I wish it was, like, the tiniest bit faster.
So my only beef, my other beef with this game is I just feel like the opening section takes too long to get interesting. Like, they introduce you to the idea that you have teleportation powers and that melee is your primary means of combat. And by the way, when you punch someone, you don't just hit them. You send them into a wall in some cases. Yep. Like, you have, like, almost Hulk-like strength when you punch people. You can punch through a wall if you stand there and punch long enough. Like, it takes 10-plus swings, but you can actually do that if you really want to. And enemies react to sound. But it takes too long on just focusing on that one ability. And I just think it's the developer sort of worried you don't have it down yet. But in a game where the minute you die, the repetition kicks in and you have to do it again, I think you're getting enough of the repetition. You didn't need, like, three levels of this game, three or four levels. I felt like I already had a handle on it, but once I hit the middle section, it got interesting in a great way. I'm just not sure if it pays off yet because I'm not done.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've only watched you play it.
It stutters a little bit, and when you punch, sometimes it doesn't land where you intended. Like, if I'll be swinging at Brian, and then it'll just, like, not hit him or swing over there, or it'll hit him, but my fist is facing that way. There's little hitches like that.
I actually was going to say, I noticed some slowdown towards the end of the game where things get a little more chaotic, and they start throwing dozens of enemies at
handheld or TV?
Handheld.
Okay.
I've entirely played this game handheld.
Okay, I played it on the TV today for the first time, and it looked better than I thought. I played it at my desk, and he wasn't that impressed at first.
Yeah.
You know, if you see a video, the first 15 minutes, I start dying at minute 9, because guess who descended? The troll.
He was playing a recording, so I trolled him the entire time, which meant, like, he was completely screwed
up. Oh, really?
So if you watch the video, like, you can pinpoint the moment that I walk up. Yeah. And it's like,
you can freeze the moment.
I think I even stopped moving at one point, because I turned him, like, do you mind? Yeah. Like, I'm nine minutes in.
Jose, are you supposed to get killed by that guy? Is that
I really dig the concept. I really dig the game. I think it's really fun. And I especially want to see, like, I'm really happy to see stuff like this on the Switch in the first month or so. Yeah. It's really unique, and I think it's like...
Yeah, it's a cool genre twist.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, as a handheld game, it's so much fun. I think it really works with that kind of quick pick-up and play, especially dying a bunch of times. Then, like, you can die 10 times in a row, pass a section, move on to the next, hit the power button in the corner, and then get on with your day and pick it back up again.
And to Nintendo's credit, too, this is another game that at least the third-party team is being pretty smart about. Like, hey, different genres each week. Like, last week, it was something else. The week before that, it was Snake Pass.
I was saying, I actually tweeted out about the last three indie games I'm playing, and it's Graceful Explosion Machine, Snake Pass, and Mr. Shifty, which are three games that could not be more different from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that they share is that small teams worked on them.
Yeah. And they've got indie RPGs and everything on the platform as well. So, I mean, there's definitely variety for the smaller games if you seek it.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Splatoon and Mario Kart, they'll
soon be Variety with probably, the bigger games too, and ARMS as well.
You're hitting hour 100 on Zelda. It's time to move on.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like,
I got eight shrines left. I'm not done yet.
I'm real. I've been. And I know it's like for a lot of people, like, you can't focus on two games at once. And I know Zelda is the big one you can't take your eyes off. But like, there's a lot going on the Switch. Can we talk about it now? Like, get back to Zelda. You can play it forever. But like,
200 hours.
When you're ready. Jose and I are going to be over here having a conversation about some of the other awesome games in this thing, so
yeah,
I hope you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I played some LEGO City Undercover very quickly. Load times are horrendous, but the initial load time is bad.
Yeah.
But that game picks up in an interesting way for me. As someone who didn't play it the first time around, I like it a lot. I'm very surprised how well the 80s cop stuff works, only because the average kid playing a LEGO game doesn't get it. But I thought about it, and I'm like, well, that's a great way to get a parent's attention.
Yeah.
They're sitting there, and you're hearing Dirty Harry references and Columbo. When was the last time someone mentioned Columbo? And like,
I think
that
was
that
probably
was
me 20 years
ago.
Yeah,
look that up if you're a youngin' right now. Because that
just was one question.
Yeah.
I think coming off of playing an open-world game on Switch after Zelda seems daunting and terrifying, but this is a nice, cool-down, relaxing open-world game.
And I've never been big on the LEGO games. And I do think that LEGO Star Wars Episode 7 had enough improvements in the LEGO formula over this game, so it feels like a step back if you've played like some of the newer stuff. But whatever, like I'm enjoying it. It's just a bit controlled for an open world. But I mean, that's every open world game, quite frankly, except Breath of the Wild. Yep. All right, we've gone over and we got to go. Thank you so much for listening to Nintendo Voice Chat and for joining us this week. And are we plugging anything specific this week?
Oh, there's a new episode of Linked Together that I think went up today. And there's a very, very, very awesome surprise.
It's so good.
If you recognize...
Don't spoil it. Yeah.
There's a very awesome Breath of the Wild. It's a show. It's about Zach Ryan and I playing Breath of the Wild together, each holding a Joy-Con, and it's very frustrating and funny. But we get a very, very special guest from Breath of the Wild make a special appearance in this episode.
Have you guys done the thing yet where you switch the controllers?
We were going to do it for...
you're usually the right one, or which one are you?
Left.
You're left.
Yeah. That'll be a surprise episode.
So you're looking.
You get to be the other side. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Progress.
Oh, my trolling thing is I always whistle when we're supposed to sneak in as something. Like Zach was like, let's go to the Great Fairy and steal all the little fairies on the outside. I'm like, yeah, sure, totally. And they all fly away. He's like, damn it!
They actually do fly away, huh? They built that in there. Yeah. They can hear you.
That's I don't like that.
Totally. I didn't realize
if
that.
If you move quickly, they'll run. So,
I noticed that.
Sound too.
Fairies hate whistling.
All right, so check out LinkedIn.
Link Together. Okay.
Yeah, Link Together. LinkedIn. Link Together. I said LinkedIn. Where did that come from? Link
Are
Together.
Are you looking for a job?
Maybe. All right, so thank you very much for watching and listening to Nintendo Voice Chat. We're a weekly show on IGN. And of course, make sure you check out IGN.com. And that's our show. You can find Brendan Graber at...
At Raga underscore Fraga.
You can find... Why Agent are you laughing?
I love that name. I'm at Agent Bizzle.
And you can find Pear Snyder at...
Pear IGN.
All right, you can find myself, Jose underscore Otero. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back next week with more Nintendo Wish Chat.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
You can work out a whole lot of shit in the aisles of Target.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I refuse to settle for being the future when I can be right now.
Listen along by searching The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.